Day. Well, tonight's Hollywood Report brought to you by Fort Wayne Electronics, home of the Green Sheet, a listing of over 500 stereo items. Sale price listed all the time, all the time. You don't have to wait for a sale over there. Just stop by and check the prices right now. Pick up a Green Sheet and put it in your pocket. Take a falling star and put it in your pocket. And well, I see the gang is ready for the Hollywood Report tonight. So without any further ado, let's run out to the West Coast now. Here he is all the way from Los Angeles, California, via Santa Barbara, the world-famous Rick Marr.
Barbara who?
Barbara Feldon. Barbara Bach.
Yes, maybe we...
Barbara Hershey.
Stop it, I'll take it. Listen, why don't we try the theme song in Spanish next week?
You want to do that?
Maybe that would work better, and Renfield could sing for everyone.
All right, he's here. He's here now, and he's all set for a big show.
All right. Yeah. Back to your playpen.
You said the sacred word.
Thank you.
Did.
He's here, too.
Hello. Control yourself, Rick.
Thank you.
Hello on a Monday from Southern California, and Ron, autumn must be in the air in your neck of the woods, because while watching the USC Notre Dame football game in South Bend on Saturday, all of the leaves changing color on the trees.
I noticed the USC cheerleaders changing color on the trees. Why?
All right.
I want to tell you, by the way, USC has got a great team, Rick, this year. They were just real powerful in that game.
They are tremendous. They were tied by Stanford the Saturday before last, but how Stanford ever pulled that off,
yeah.
I do not know.
They mentioned that. I think Keith Jackson was on that.
Right, he was.
Also, I noticed that the USC band played Tusk, which they recorded with Fleetwood Mac.
That's right.
Yeah, in the beginning of the broadcast.
Yeah. Tremendous
very good.
Game, though. I tell you the truth, I was pulling for the Irish, but... wait till next year.
Yes, as we used to say in Washington, yeah. Wait till next year, yeah.
I got used to that. Ron, as a former Easterner, though, I do miss the beauty of autumn, since here in California there's no fall weather as such. And guess what faithful listener mailed me some orange, red, and yellow leaves last week?
Gee, could it have been Karen Ripple of Sturgis, Michigan?
Karen Ripple came through.
Yeah.
She knows how much I miss the autumn weather, so she was kind enough to send me some autumn through the post office.
Tell them what she sent you last year.
Yeah, she's the same young lady, folks, who mailed me the icicle last winter.
Yeah.
Only it melted by the time she put the stamp on the envelope.
By the time you got it, it was wet cardboard. Yeah.
Oh, well, a busy week, Ron, in the world of entertainment. Here's what's happening tonight from New York to Hollywood. Dateline Hollywood. TV critique. Last night's 25-year salute to television on behalf of TV Guide magazine was another one of those tributes similar to the one staged by each of the networks a year or so ago. Sure, it was a lot of fun and quite nostalgic, but it almost totally lacked emphasis on the period of television's infancy, its roots, the 1950s. Nowhere did we see film clips of some of the greatest shows of those early years, like Howdy Doody, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, The Life of Riley, and so many others. Sure, I realize that it's impossible to cover 25 years of television in a mere 2 hours, but to de-emphasize the period of the 50s in covering the history of TV is like a student handing in a term paper to his teacher and leaving his name off of it. Yeah, that's why you got F's all the time, Bally. Dateline Beverly Hills. Eavesdropping, the scene was a plush restaurant near even more plush Rodeo Drive. The actor and his wife were quietly eating dinner when all of a sudden they were approached by a man who obviously had one too many strawberry margaritas. The actor, who was known for his popular role of a Western hero in a series on the tube years ago, politely asked the chap to leave. He refused to until the macho actor would give him his autograph, so our hero picked up a piece of banana cream pie from the table and threw it in the drunk's face.
Uh-oh.
The actor's initials, C.C. C.C.
C.C., senor. Wait a minute. That couldn't have been the rifleman, could it?
Very well, might have been.
Yeah, okay, calm down in there, will you? Give me that banana. Whoop. Hey, banana peels are good for two things, smoking and slipping on them. Stop that. Watch out there. Boy, what a mess. Stop. Cut it out. Come on.
Sounds like the off-ramp of the Hollywood freeway near Vine Street at evening rush hour. Dateline Hollywood. Is it true that ABC TV is thinking very seriously of canceling its comedy series The Ropers due to poor ratings? That Mr. and Mrs. Roper, who were so popular as characters on Three's Company, have failed to attract high Nielsen numbers on their own in prime time, and the network will soon announce the end of the show? Is it true?
I think that's a crackerjack of a story.
You were canceled due to low ratings too, Polly. Keep lying, Hollywood. Roll call. One of Ron Gregory's all-time favorite actors, the late Humphrey Bogart, will have a film biography done on him for TV on CBS later this season. Kevin O'Connor will play the legendary star. Catherine Harold will take the role of his wife. And Anne Wedgeworth and Richard Dysart are also in the cast.
Now, just a minute, sweetheart.
Uh-oh.
Is this a Humphrey Bogart story?
This is the Real Rick Mars Hollyweird Report.
I remember one time I was talking about Lauren Bacall, and I mentioned that her name was Betty. Betty, see, but the script said Lauren, so I had made a mistake.
What if you do make a slip on the air? There's only 30 million people out there ready to jump down your throat.
I'm sorry, Humphrey.
Yeah, we have pretty good ratings, don't we?
Yes.
That was like the time you talked about Humphrey Go-Kart, too.
Yeah, and Sydney Greensheet, yeah.
Hey, flying New York. Press pickup. Merv Griffin, whose syndicated TV talk show seems to get more boring all the time, is trying to spice up his ratings by taking the program on tour in the New York area next month. I kid you not.
He can start with the Bowery, yeah.
Among the places he'll be going will be the Bowery, the Belmont Racetrack, a new casino in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
All right, Belmont, yeah.
Yeah, one of your favorite hangouts. Dateline, New York. Quotable Quotes Department, Part 1. Sometimes sports celebrities come up with some better one-liners than movie and TV personalities. Take the one by Baltimore Orioles baseball pitcher Mike Flanagan. He said, I could never play in New York. The first time I ever came into a game there, I got into the bullpen car and they told me to lock the doors. That says something for New York, doesn't it?
That's terrible.
Dateline, Dallas. Quotable Quotes Department, Part 2. And when Dallas Cowboys pro football quarterback Roger Staubach suffered a mild concussion in an exhibition game earlier this season, did his head coach Tom Landry panic? No. Said Landry, I was delighted it was his head and not his knee.
Well, that's real nice.
Terrible. What a thing to say.
That's using your head, yeah.
Dateline Hollywood. Facts and Figures Department. Ever wonder just how many TV stations make money and how many lose money? Well, the VHF stations reporting statistics to the FCC, those on channels 2 through 13, about 92% recorded a profit in earnings last year, while about 8% had a loss. In the UHF division, channels 14 through 82, only about 74% showed a profit, while almost 26% finished with a loss. Dateline Hollywood. Tonight's Mystery Quiz. One of the most popular TV comedy series during the late 1950s and early 60s was The Donna Reed Show. Name the names of the actor and actress who played the teenage son and daughter on that program. The answer on the next Hollyweird Report. That's Monday night at 9:15 Indiana time, 10:15 in the Eastern Time Zone here on WoWo. Be listening. Dateline Hollywood. We'll be back in 60 seconds with a very strange story about a former Tinseltown heartthrob.
Fort Wayne Electronics, Glenbrook in 3606 East Maumee.
Well, in 1962, the movie world took a bold step when Sue Lyon played the role of Lolita in a film of the same name, the plot of which dealt with a teenage girl who seduced a middle-aged man. The public outcry at that time was loud, and Sue's face became known around the world. As she grew older, with her long blonde hair and striking blue eyes, Sue became every man's dream girl, while at the same time seeming to disappear from the Tinseltown scene. In the 17 years since Lolita stunned American audiences, Sue Lyon has gone through quite a metamorphosis and lived a most unusual life. She married and divorced at a very young age, then began to shy away from the Hollywood environment, both professionally and socially, and in 1973 went to do some social service work at the Colorado State Penitentiary. There she met Gary Adamson, who was serving a 20 to 40 year prison sentence for robbery and murder. Lyon announced publicly that she and Adamson had fallen in love, and they later married in the conference room of the state pen. The couple couldn't overcome the barrier of the prison wall separating them, though, and Lyon divorced Adamson, who's still behind bars, incidentally. She claims that because she married a man serving a jail term, she lost all of her friends and lost any opportunity she may have had for further acting roles. Sue Lyon changed her first name to Merrill, spelled M-E-R-R-I-L-L, in an effort to put her past behind her. She now lives with her 7-year-old daughter in an apartment in a rundown section of Los Angeles, the same neighborhood she grew up in, not far from Dodger Stadium. And her transportation around this town is a pickup truck. Whereas she was once earning up to $3,000 a day in the acting world, she now sells men's clothes in the store and is lucky to clear $100 a week. Sue Lyon did have a small guest spot on ABC TV series Fantasy Island a year ago, but she insists it's the last time you'll ever see her on the screen. She says she wouldn't go back to her old life for anything and claims she's never been happier than she is right now. For those of you who have longed to be a movie or TV star, listen for a moment to Sue Lyon's version. There are too many complications with being a public figure. You don't have freedom to live your life as you want to. Everyone you meet is going to look at you as though you're a bug under glass. I don't care if I never see or hear from any of those Hollywood people again. It's a false world, and it's all based on fear. All of those people are afraid of each other, and few have any real values. And about her current lifestyle, Lyon says, life is really much better and saner now than it's ever been. I have no intention of making movies anymore. The money is just not as important to me as my peace of mind. When I meet someone now, I'm nothing strange. I'm nothing odd. I'm just another human being, and it's better for me. So the girl who rocketed to fame as a teenage tease in the movies is now a 33-year-old lady separated from the fake and phony world known as Hollywood. Quite an unusual life for a beautiful young woman who was once a household name, but maybe all of the experience she suffered through was worth it. Because Sue Lyon, or Merrill Lyon, as she's now known as, keeps repeating that she's never been happier. Well, Ron, let's end tonight's program on a somewhat lighter note. Many of you may be familiar with Los Angeles radio personality Gary Owens, who used to do the voice on the old TV series Laugh-In and also hosted the nighttime version of The Gong Show. Last week may have signaled the end of the 1979 Major League Baseball season with the completion of the World Series, but Gary Owens is a year-round baseball nut. In fact, he's written a book appropriately titled The Official Gary Owens Baseball Trivia Quiz Book. Here's a sample question. Who are the only California Angels to hit 3 home runs in one game? One of the following. Lee Thomas, Lee Stanton, Lee Merriweather, Lee DeForest, or Lee DeTrees?
I know that.
Answer. No, you don't. In 1931, DeForest accidentally stood up at a ball game in front of DeTrees, and you couldn't see DeTrees for DeForest.
You know what I think of that?
Yeah.
There you go. Speaking of the Gong Show, try that on for size.
DeForest right out of my
Sweet.
Mouth.
I know that's
right.
You gotta be kidding me with this. Cut it out. Don't encourage him now.
All right.
Whoop. Uh-oh. What was that? Is there a boat coming in? Or what?
Lee Merriweather? Isn't she Barnaby Jones' secretary?
How about Christopher Lee, maybe?
Yeah, and you know, for that kind of stuff, Gary Owens earns about $150,000 a year. What do you think of that, Bob?
When are they going to have another opening? That's right. Oh, listen, I got a special surprise for you tonight.
For me?
Yes. Yeah, you usually do this, but I'm going to try it tonight.
Oh, okay.
Ready?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Now it's time to say goodnight to all our company. Yeah, that was Rolling Stones.
Oh, okay.
Strolling Bones are October 31st.
And Mick Jagger got the job, though, right?
Yes.
The rest is history. Listen, I wish those kids would learn how to spell that.
Yeah, isn't
anyway,
that embarrassing?
Anyway, it's time for the real Rick Maher to get back to more of my California dreaming out there on the shores above Malibu. And, Ron, I'll be back same time next Monday night here on Whoa. Ronaldo, make sure you're back in your box of dirt by dawn.
What was that?
Make sure you're back in your box of dirt by dawn. Yeah, I knew it, along with Renfield, Count Dracula, and George Allen. This is the real Rick Maher. Good night from
George Hollywood. Allen.
job, you're the one I listen to. I'm a whoa people. I'm a whoa people 'cause the music is right for me. In the country
or the city.
In